We should feel so proud to have this man representing Ohio. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Good to be with you again tonight. I know we're doing a couple in a row so that you can go off on a trip. So we ask for prayers for your travel safety.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm heading out to Washington, D.C. to go meet with some of Ohio's congressional delegation on a couple of issues. But this is one member of Ohio's congressional delegation I'm just not sure I want to schedule a meeting with, because as a report from Breitbart.com has shown, this particular Ohio elected official can be awfully rude. Chuck, the person I'm talking about is Ohio's United States Senator Sherrod Brown from the Cleveland area, the senior senator from Ohio. It seems that good Mr. Brown doesn't like being asked direct questions that challenge his official versions of the way things are or should be in this country. And recently, he was, I don't want to use the term accosted, because he wasn't accosted. This was an exchange. He was at a conference, a big convention, similar to what the conservatives had at CPAC. Most of the liberals, especially those who are liberal tech folks, bloggers and such, have a conference that it's called Netroots Nation. And it's held in Providence, Rhode Island. And the liberal world shows up for this because the Netroots are the liberal bloggers. Those are people like your the Daily Kos and those in the Rachel Maddows of the world who are out there trying to speak the official Marxist party line and set the country on a further on the socialist path. Breitbart, which if anybody in our audience is familiar with Breitbart.com, is a very, shall we say, libertarian slash conservative news collector website. And they sent a representative to Netroots Nation by the name of Dana Loesch. Miss Loesch went to Netroots Nation, and she decided while she was there, Sherrod Brown, who was also there and I believe speaking at the event, she tried to ask him a question because, first of all, Sherrod Brown is in a very hotly contested race to his United States Senate seat against Ohio Treasurer Josh Mandel. And Chuck, early on, numbers are showing that Sherrod Brown could very well lose the seat that he's held for 6 years now because people are not happy with the positions he's taken as the U.S. Senator for the state of Ohio. I can't understand why. I mean, after all, he voted for Obamacare. He was in favor of regulating and restricting energy in this country. If you think about it, Charles, pretty much if there's a liberal issue out there, Sherrod Brown's vote will be recorded in favor of it in the United States Senate.
Oh, absolutely. He's a go-to guy if you need some kind of a socialistic program and you absolutely need a drop-dead vote. Sherrod Brown is the guy to go to. There was never any question at all that he was going to cast a vote for Obamacare. He pretended like he was waffling at one point, but he was not. That's become fairly obvious. He's sticking to his guns after the thing is passed. And even though Ohio passed the Health Care Freedom Amendment, and at some point we need to talk about this because Ohio has not applied for its exchange setup yet. And I heard a couple people talking on the radio about this, and even though this is a sidebar, one of the reasons, they were coming up with all these reasons why Ohio, they're waiting to see what the Supreme Court does and all this, and I said, no, it's because Ohio is enjoined constitutionally from being involved in the exchange program.
It is now, yes. Because last year, the citizens of Ohio went out and by a significant margin passed the Ohio Healthcare Freedom Amendment to the Ohio Constitution to prevent the state government or the federal government from forcing a scheme of mandated health insurance upon Ohio citizens.
While Ohio was busy passing this thing very close to 3-1 and being 3-1 against, very close, not quite 3-1, but very close to 3-1 against Obamacare, Sherrod Brown was out there beating the drum for it and saying it didn't matter to him. He was going to vote for it anyway. And the reason he was so confident about that was because he knew he was going to have, in 2010, he was going to have 2 years to repair the damage.
Absolutely.
that he'd done to his reputation with this thing. The problem is that in the interim, he has done things like vote for bills that would require what we've got now, and that is electric plants shutting down in the Ohio Valley, which at some point is going to become disastrous throughout the entire Midwest because the grid will not have enough power to run people's air conditioning and their computers and their TVs and their ceiling fans and the lights in their house. So we're going to start having to have rolling brownouts because there isn't enough grid capacity. And when that happens, you'll be able to thank Sherrod Brown, because what's happening now is these electric companies are shutting down these coal-fired plants, and they're actually talking about blowing them up and bulldozing them over and selling the land and going and doing something else.
Well, with all the extra regulation that's being put on, especially the coal industry in this country, it seems that they're fighting a losing uphill battle and that possibly that capitulation is just where they're going to end up at. However, that has become a very key issue this year, along with Obamacare, in that particular campaign between sitting Senator Brown and the challenger, Ohio Treasurer Josh Mandel. Because, well, Sherrod's going to have to stand up for his votes. That's just all there is to it. That's the whole key. When you become an elected official and you vote, you have to be able to defend what you voted for. It's sort of like being a Christian. You have to be able to know what you believe and be able to defend it. I would hope, Chuck, that the vast majority of Christian believers would not have their apologetic look like Sherrod Brown's does, because this is right. Kind of how Brown defends his position when he's asked a question. And Dana Loesch works with Breitbart, and he was at the Netroots Nation. Brown was there, and there was a group of attendees who were all around, and people asking him questions. And of course, because most of them are progressive or leftist or liberals, it was kind of a love fest. But now Ms. Loesch goes to ask a question, and she finally had an opening to ask, and she was going to ask him the question about his vote as the deciding vote in the United States Senate for Obamacare. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Sherrod Brown cast the deciding vote, which gave us Obamacare. Now, hopefully sometime later this month, at the beginning of July, the United States Supreme Court will get constitutionally wise and totally overturn that entire scheme on its ear, thus showing that Sherrod Brown, at the very least, doesn't understand the Constitution. Well, when this solution... that question, Senator, do you have a moment for a question? And this was tweeted by her from the conference. He turned around, looked at her, said, "Not for you," and pointing at her, and his assistant hustled him off away from her. So, in other words, if he was getting softballs, Chuck, if he was getting love and accolades, he was all fine staying there as long as possible. But when somebody starts questioning him on his actual voting record, i.e., what do you believe, really, then he gets upset, and, well, I'm not answering your questions. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Sherrod Brown, if you're listening to us here in Ohio, he's your United States Senator. Perhaps you should call him up, and we'll provide you the number on our website. You did a link to this article. You can call him up and ask him yourself, how do you feel being the deciding vote for Obamacare? Especially now that the citizens of Ohio have said, we don't want it, and that the U.S. Supreme Court may be saying it's unconstitutional. I think it'd be interesting that, you know, maybe he should have a defense, Chuck. Maybe he should have an answer. He should be ready to give an answer at all times for the belief that he has. Don't you believe?
Well, I believe so. But, Barry, this is typical of the kind of arrogance that Sherrod Brown has exhibited, not just in his Senate career, but in his entire career.
That's true.
It's always been a very aloof kind of, you just don't really understand my position. When he's asked a question and he can't answer it, he very quickly runs over to, well, you just don't really understand my position and you're prejudiced against me anyway, so I'm just not going to answer any more of your questions. He knew exactly who Dana Loesch was. She is very well known in conservative circles as someone who is, shall we say, a dangerous questioner from the right side of the aisle. And there were going to be no softball lobbed in the direction of Sherrod Brown from Dana Loesch. She was going to ask him direct questions about his positions on Obamacare, how he could possibly think that he was going to get a majority of the votes of Ohioans who had majority supported not passing Obamacare, how he could expect to get it back in his face by the Ohio voters. Barry, to show you how little substance the guy has to run on, the absolute nothingness of his campaign, so far, the only ads I've seen from Sherrod Brown on TV have been to belittle Josh Mandel for missing some meetings. that he was supposed to be a chairman of. Something about missing 14 out of 15 meetings he was supposed to be a chairman of some obscure committee.
Yeah, it's an obscure panel that nobody really pays any attention to, but the unions are using it to run 527 ads against him.
And of course, the 527 that's being run is being run by the SEIU.
The Service Employees International Union.
That's right.
Which are all the state unionized employees.
Yeah, exactly. And they are not exactly conservative.
Not by a long shot, no.
And this is the kind of thing. Now, honestly, most people see these ads and they see these people cutting down. I'd found out he didn't show up to 14 of these of the 15 meetings. Well, who are these people? Well, you look into it and they're retired union employees who got way more money than the average Joe in the private sector because they've got a state retirement fund and they're retired on the taxpayers' money that the taxpayers don't have to retire on their own. So there's guys like me who are going to be working until the day they throw me in the box because I'm busy paying for state and local employees, union members who got to retire after 25 or 30 years on a huge portion of their salary. Right now, by the time I get to retirement age, which used to be, 65, they're now talking about raising it to 70 and in some cases 75. So good luck. Honestly, people were starting to get the picture on that. And the whole thing with Scott Walker in Wisconsin was over the fact that he was reining in those particular costs from the same people in Wisconsin who were opposing Scott Walker as are supporting Sherrod Brown. Now, what does that tell you?
It tells me that, number one, liberalism is actually a lot smaller in this country than we think it is, because what they do is they just shift people from one portion of the country to the other. It's sort of rent-a-protester. And that the vast majority of the American public is much more conservative than the liberal elites in the employees' unions and in Sherrod Brown's world.
To show you, too, Loesch points out that Al Gore tweeted in response to Brown's retort to Loesch when he said, not for you, and stomped off. Al Gore thought that was awesome.
Oh, of course, but then tried to delete the tweet so that it wouldn't come out there that he was basically being a cheerleader for the left, which he is.
Yeah, because Al Gore's an embarrassment. He's sort of the crazy cousin that everybody would like to keep in the basement, but he won't stay down there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy has basically completely embarrassed himself with this whole global warming thing, which, by the way, Barack Obama, with guys like Sherrod Brown, are saying is going to be a major issue if he gets reelected. Well, let me tell you, if they bring around climate change regulation in the second, Barack Obama gets a second term, and guys like Sherrod Brown get reelected, hold on to your wallets, folks, because electricity is going to quadruple in cost. You and I have a mutual friend who works as an energy broker, and he's already saying, even if that doesn't happen, because of the damage that's been done in the first 4 years, it's going to be a mess. Within the next four.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of arrogant treatment of anyone who they don't agree with, simply brushing aside questions and deciding not to answer them, this is nothing new with the left. I mean, look at Eric Holder basically refusing to answer questions on Fast and Furious. And he's just basically thumbing his nose at a contempt citation from Congress, which they're getting ready to take a vote on. So this is kind of typical. Unfortunately, this is not the way to win an election.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a matter of getting the word out there and saying, see, this is how these people operate. Now, I'm not necessarily for or against Josh Mandel. He seems like a nice guy. I've met him. But this is not a campaign thing. But what we're doing is attempting to expose bad. If we can find something bad about Josh Mandel, I'm sure we'll be exposing that as well.
Absolutely. So yeah, this is not a campaign thing. It was just to point out that we have a current office holder who, when questioned about voting record, really doesn't want to talk about it. And so, as good, conscientious, constitutionally minded citizens, we should take every opportunity to give him the opportunity to explain himself.
By
contacting him and by asking him the questions. So, we should do the same with his challenger, because if the situation with missing these meetings or whatever is important to people, they should call and ask why. This is part of the reason why we encourage our listeners to get actively engaged, not just in politics of the matter, but in good government itself. And good government happens when the citizens, who are the employers of our public officials, check up on their employees and make sure that they're doing the job they're sent to do. I'm not sure if the record shows that Sherrod Brown has been doing the job he's been set to do for the citizens of America.
Well, since he's a representative, he has not been representing us well.
No.
And with that being said, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.